In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor answers a few questions about birds.
A reader in Elburn, Illinois, west of Chicago, wrote, "I have 3 sandhill cranes nesting in my backyard right now. I saw on a website that they're endangered in Illinois and was curious if that's really true." Sandhill cranes, which are among the most magnificent birds of North America and cousins to the endangered whooping crane, were never threatened nationally, but they were absent as a breeding bird in Illinois from 1872 to 1979. Over the past couple of decades, however, the number of sandhill cranes breeding in the state has increased steadily, and in 2000, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources counted 140 individuals in northeast Illinois. Since then, the population has increased by an annual rate of 33%. Hence, the Illinois Endangered Species Protection Board is currently in the process of removing sandhill cranes from the list of state-threatened birds. According to Mike Ward, an ornithologist with the Illinois Natural History Survey at the U of I and a member of the technical committee that advises the State Endangered Species Protection Board, there's an unfortunate flip side to this story, though. That's because the recent success of sandhill cranes in the state is attributable to changes in the structure of wetlands that are detrimental to the majority of other birds that depend on them for breeding. So while sandhill cranes have increased, 7 other species of wetland birds have experienced statistically significant population declines. Most notable among these are common moorhens, black terns, least bitterns, and yellow-headed blackbirds. A neighbor recently called to ask, "What should I do with the nest where a mallard has laid eggs in a bush by our house?" The best thing people can do for nesting birds is to leave them alone and keep pets away from them. It's okay to replace eggs or baby birds that have fallen from a nest. Bird parents really aren't put off by the smell of human handling. But the general principle to follow is let wildlife stay wild. This principle applies to baby rabbits, baby deer, and other critters as well. A reader in Champaign County emailed to ask, "When can we expect to see eastern bluebirds and American goldfinches return?" Experienced birders love to field the question about goldfinches because the answer comes as such a surprise. The fact is, goldfinches don't leave Illinois for the winter. When they molt in the fall, both males and females of the species put on a coat of olive feathers so drab that many people don't recognize them. It's when they molt in the spring that the appearance of male goldfinches becomes remarkable again, as their bright yellow breeding plumage comes in. Bluebirds that breed in Illinois don't move far for the winter either, migrating only as they are forced to by weather and limits on the availability of food. Some bluebirds can be seen in east-central Illinois through most winters. Bluebirds that have wintered farther south move back to or through the Midwest between the end of February and early May. While we're on the topic of migration, I would add that the next 3 weeks or so offer some of the best birdwatching opportunities of the year, as brightly colored warblers and other long-distance migrants return to their breeding territories. If you're wondering where to start seeing them, the Sunday morning bird walks conducted by the Champaign County Audubon Society at Busey Woods in Urbana offer a great place to start. These walks depart from the Anita Purvis Nature Center at 7:30 and last as long as participants care to stay out.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the U of I Department of Religion.